In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nah, I'm used to playing everything. There's no such thing as an X or Y or Z. You got to get open. You call the receiver, not whatever receiver. You got to be able to get open. And it's hard to learn the playbook just trying to learn one position because you can easily be on the other side of the field, in the slot, outside, inside, you could be motioning to it, different things like that. So I learned the playbook conceptually. So I learned concept by concept and learned every single spot. So I can be anywhere.
Keon Coleman, 3 practices into his Bills career, his first training camp. Have you been out there? Any observations you want to share with your fellow fans? Let us hear from you. 803-0550.
How come you didn't ask me if I went out there today?
I was just about to.
Okay.
Did you go to training camp today?
Of course not. No.
You totally have said it already.
Oh, yeah. Of course I would have. I would have gone on early.
Hour and a half into the show.
I would have crashed into Brownie and Steve's show. It'd be like, I was there!
Hour and a half in. Sal gave us 20 minutes all about what happened there. You never once said, I saw the same thing. But, you know, that's been the bit. And you were right to press me on that. The hair dryer thing with the Bears coach.
Yeah.
It's sort of implied in this Kaylin Kaler article. She's new to ESPN. I've liked her work. That it might have saved his job getting a better look. Eberflus.
That's how I took the tweet that I saw.
Right. So he got this fancy hair dryer. He's got this barber that's interviewed here in this piece and maybe also cuts the players' hair or some of them. And apparently the guy just sort of had a tighter haircut and grew a beard and went from just kind of like a plain-looking guy, maybe a little
unkempt,
slovenly,
yeah,
to sharp-dressed man. Like, he just sort of the guys on the radio there were talking about how he looked smarter. Which is our strategy, I know, ourselves, when it comes to having beards.
I look so smart.
Yes. So, you know, it's not nothing, I guess. It's not nothing.
Sure.
Something to think about.
Yeah, the impression you make and how you look in public can matter. I mean, ideally it shouldn't, but we're all human. We perceive people based on their appearance sometimes. It's a starting point anyway before they start talking. And yeah, the impression I get here is that it's made everything he says seem seem smarter. Seems like he's, all right, look at this guy.
I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah.
I wasn't before.
With authority. Look at that hair.
But
what a glorious head of hair.
Now I'm going to listen to you. I'm not even going to think about it. I just want to do it.
Right. So you got something to sell? I'll buy it. You're beautiful. Yeah.
So there's that.
I haven't used a hair dryer in 30 years.
Me neither. Well, I've used it for other purposes.
I can't
to
even
thaw
ice maker. I can't even cop to that. I can't even cop to that.
Yeah. No, but I have not. Same. Yeah. How about a comb?
The beard occasionally. Okay. There are combs around, but I'm a brush guy. I usually just brush my hair.
Do you?
Yeah.
I never do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Comb or brush. It's just sort of how it comes out.
Just goes, yeah.
I'll put the gel in sometimes.
You've got it's a thicker head of hair than
I do.
Mine is it's thin, and if I don't do anything to it after I get out, like if I don't tame it in some way, it's just, you know.
Untamed.
Yeah.
Yep. A couple of guys in their 50s.
Talking about hair care.
Without, you know, we're hanging in there.
803-0550.
With the hair.
That's right. Neither of us are in any real trouble in that department. Knock on some wood.
Yeah, so far.
My dad had lost the power alleys. He had a little in the front, but the power alleys, you know what I'm talking about, were in bad shape by the time he was like 40. Like, I remember as a little kid, my dad, like, losing his hair, and I thought I would be in for the same thing, but here we are. I'm almost 60, and my hair has not receded a bit.
Possibly not analytics, but I've heard it's your mom's side.
All right. Well, her dad also was pretty bald.
I consider myself lucky because, I can like a bald look, but I think you kind of have to be in shape to carry the bald look, and I would have wanted to shave my head if I'd had the power alleys, so then the pressure would have been on, right? Because now,
right,
you know, I'm going to... Bald guy looks good, you know, when he's in shape.
Right.
And that's really... I can lose some weight, but I'm not really like a gym guy.
You don't got to shave the head to go with it.
Didn't really want to do that.
You're fine over there. Yeah, all right.
So earlier this week, I brought up, you know, we're just having a conversation. People called in. Which Bills game this year do you find yourself thinking about the most? And, you know, a half dozen or so different games were mentioned. Kansas City, of course, the openers, what you said, the Ravens game. Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned Jacksonville. Somebody else mentioned Seattle because they don't play. Okay. Now I have this question. Which Bills game do you think about the most that's already been played?
Whew. I don't like this question.
Because it's a loss?
Yeah.
The first few games I thought of for this are all losses.
I don't know how... I mean, this might reveal a failing personally to my thought process. I don't like think of a Bills game every day. But when I do think of a Bills game, it's usually the 13 seconds game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's very prominent. It seems like it comes up in some way, shape, or form every day, even if it's just like this in passing, and then it's left behind and it doesn't get dwelled on. But, like, that is still, it's haunting me, that game, still.
Have you watched it yet?
I lost it. I think, okay. I don't know what I did. If I did something or it was just there too long and
well, it's just all you have to do is YouTube.
Right. But I had it, you know, I made a big deal of saying how, like, it's the only game. Like, my DVR, I guess, maybe I did it or it just decided, like, you watch all these Bills games, so here you go. It just started recording Bills games, even when they are rerun, like, on NFL Network and stuff. So one day I noticed I had, like, 30 Bills games in there. I've never watched a single thing on the DVR of my Fubo account, but it's there. So I went to delete all of the games that I knew I was never going to watch and meant to keep that one, and I accidentally deleted it. And there was no immediate recourse that I could find. Like, you know, recently deleted. Like, oh, let me save that. You know, like, I couldn't, and I just like, oh, well, I guess that's the end of that. So I know I could find it if I wanted to, but, I mean, I had it for 3 years just sitting there on my main TV. If I ever wanted it, I could get it, and I never did. So I can't imagine I'm going to go seek it out on YouTube. But that game is we said it right afterwards, if not on that post-game show, then the next day. Like, this game is going to be on our minds until they win. And that is definitely true of me. I don't love that, but I'd much rather think about the perfect game that preceded it against New England. That was a great night, and I even remember the next day I went and helped Jeremy with his camper in the lot, and I have a photo. There was this discarded sort of like a Patriots Yeti cup lying in a puddle in the parking lot, and I took a picture of it. I'm like, this is just seems really appropriate. This like broken Patriots Yeti cup is just abandoned here in the Bills parking lot. This is such a fun time. But 13 seconds is my answer, and I hate it. But that's it. I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I would say of wins, like in the Allen era here, that New England one might be the number one of games the Bills have won. That's a great memory, especially if you were there.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're warm by now. But especially if you were there, like I think that that's a pretty strong.
Yeah, even memory. More so if you were there somewhere near Fitz.
Yeah,
with no shirt on. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I think of like older games. You know, of course, '90s playoff games, and the Bills went farther. And I feel like, you know, maybe it's also because so much time has passed, but it's not uncomfortable. It's not depressing to think about some of those huge wins, you know, like they made history, those teams. So I'll think about those. The 51-3 is obvious. I went to a couple of the other playoff games. Those are great memories of mine. But in recent years, I mean, I think the Bengal game could also be one. It's also a loss, of course. But there was a particular disappointment, like a new level of disappointment with that Bengal loss. Because it wasn't Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was like in a year, so much had happened to that team. Of course, that's the Hamlin season. But in a year, you went from, well, I don't know how you blew this game, but we know you're great. Just kind of get them next year.
Don't do that again.
And all the way up to Cincinnati, which is like, you know, all right, home game. It's not Kansas City. And it was just not close. It wasn't close enough. And you have all the digs, the meltdown, and yep. just like, what happened? Okay, maybe this team really was stressed, but and part of that, I think, is that the 13 seconds year, you know, fans around here were very confident that the Bills would have beaten the Bengals.
Right.
And then next year happens, and you almost can't say that. I know it's a different season,
right.
but
right.
That Bengals team won in Kansas City anyway.
Right.
The next week. So it just a lot came out of the balloon there, you know, with that one where each one of these four playoff losses have brought on sort of different frustrations or different reactions. First one is, all right, well, look how far you went. Look how far you've come. Second year is OMG, how did this happen? But we still think you're great.
Right.
The third year is more, well,
maybe we're not that great.
Maybe it's not just the Chiefs and,
right.
you know, is the team fractured? And then you had last year, which was always kind of a struggle from the first game yeah. all the way, even though they were the two seed. Yeah. Last year was really a struggle.
The year was, and it's funny, like thinking about the last year's loss to Kansas City, it, you know, was so close. And, you know, any one thing maybe could have changed the outcome. I don't feel as bad about it. I think it speaks to the familiarity of losing at that spot. I mean, it's only 3 years. It's only been 30 years. But it's sort of like, oh, you lost to Kansas City again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't find myself ever thinking about that game. We talk
really?
About it, but it's just sort of like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, like it's not, I don't feel as bitter about it. It feels like a little so familiar to lose there that, I don't know, right afterward, I know I was really depressed about it. And I still, you know, I don't think about it often, but when we talk about it and I'm thinking about it now, I even would say now, I do not like how I sounded on the air right after that game. Because I didn't have anything. I was just empty. And that's not a good place to be when you're about to go try to talk for a couple hours about a football game. But I just felt like brokenhearted more than mad, I think. But now, like months later, just like, eh, whatever. Just keep going.
I guess that's good. I do think about that game a lot. I don't know if I was sad as much as I was just, you know, the key aspect of it is that it was a home game. And it's Mahomes in the locker room after they won. Shouting to his teammates, they wanted this, you know, about the Bills. Like, mm-hmm. this is the Bills wanted this game in this stadium, and we beat them anyway.
Yeah.
And so each one of those, you know, the accumulation makes it just like a little tougher each time to sort of believe in it, I guess. That's maybe a challenge Sean McDermott might face with his team. Maybe not. I don't think players don't ask each other questions about which games they remember the best. It's a fans thing.
Right.
But, you know, he might have some level of challenge keeping, especially as the season gets later, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, keeping chins up.
Interesting. Did you catch Bean, I think, this week when he spoke, referenced how, you know, trying to put a positive spin on all the turnover, something to the effect of, you know, we don't have, like, all the scar tissue. Like, there's a lot of guys that don't have any of it, like, or very little of it. They're relatively new here. They haven't been through it all. Like, sort of a reference, like, White and Hyde and Poyer and Morse, like, guys that were here for all of that, Diggs. And, you know, so you're sort of clean slate, like, which sort of implies that, you know, the hangover does affect the players too. At least that's how, you know, Bean said it.
I think he called it a new team.
Yeah.
If that might have been in the same section of his press conference, not sure. 803-0550, which game do you think about the most? Even if it's this year, we can certainly do that some more too. Lines are open. Happy Friday, and thanks for being with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.